Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you want all the latest info on the Padres? We've got you covered. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
Nick Lee tweets at Ben and Woods. Ben to the H-I-double-G-I-N-S.
You are getting really comfortable. Yeah,
I like that one. It is a Friar Friday, everybody. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan. We are the home of the Padres. Day off yesterday. Padres back in action later this afternoon. 3:10 pregame show, 4:10 first pitch against the Philadelphia Phillies. And it is a Paddock Day,
it's Paddock Day.
Have they announced that officially? Andy Green wouldn't commit to a starting rotation on Wednesday when I heard him after the game.
Well, so. All I know is I've seen a... Hold on.
I think it's supposed to be Chris Paddock.
I'll tell you, I've got him on my fantasy team, okay? Way overpaid for him, by the way, because he's going to get shut down at some point, but I really went nuts because I really wanted to root for him, and I have. Yeah, I paid $17 for Chris Paddock, and he is starting
that
today,
was
Ben.
Foolish.
Yeah.
Even if Chris Paddock had a rookie of the year season, his usage was going to...
Yeah, it's going to screw me.
You're never getting more than one start out of him per week.
Correct.
You know, are you that week-to-week fantasy league, or is it just total points?
No, it's week-to-week. I go head-to-head.
The especially valuable pitchers are the guys who go twice. You get them like Monday and Saturday.
So might you say that Chris Paddock is not living up to his contract for me?
Well, your contract that you gave him, yeah.
Yeah, he's
sure.
Definitely not.
And that's a topic for this series for sure. With the Padres and Phillies squaring off, you get the team that signed Manny Machado against the team that signed Bryce Harper for $330 million in the offseason. $630 million spent on two players who will both be on the field tonight at Citizens Bank Park. And SD Sports 19 tweeted at us. He said, as anyone that got a huge contract ever truly lived up to that contract? You know, there's been talk this week that both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado have fallen a little short of $30 million a year and 27 and a half, whatever Bryce Harper's comes out to, that they're not playing at that level. But both of them, we talked to John Marks from WIP in Philadelphia. He said, you know, maybe you didn't understand what you were getting in Bryce Harper if you think he's not living up to his contract. It's not his best season ever, but it is right in line with his career numbers. Same with Manny Machado. His numbers this year, a little fluctuation in batting average. You know, home runs are good, though. They're basically the numbers that Manny Machado has given overall in the past, and you can probably expect going forward from him as well.
Yeah, getting a massive contract like that does not up your production. You know, it's not, oh, we signed him to $300 million. He's going to hit 50 bombs now. I mean, the guy's a 30 home run a year guy, if that, you know, so.
But I would say that there have been a few players who have truly lived up to those massive mega deals. Not necessarily all in baseball. In other sports, I think you have at least a few more examples of that. You had one earlier.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's no price too high for Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady.
And he's not making even that much.
Yeah, he's not the top paid quarterback in the league, but Tom Brady has outperformed. Now, there are a lot of guys on a... Fernando Tatis, has he outperformed his contract this year? Yeah, he has. He makes.
But he's not making a mega deal.
Exactly.
I would argue
so there's
that
there's an outperforming.
That Alex Rodriguez's first mega deal with the Rangers. If you are a Rangers fan and you think he didn't earn his money. I mean, he did.
He won an MVP.
He won an MVP. I mean, he was one of the best players in the league pretty much for the first, eight years of that deal. I mean, that is as good as you could possibly hope for in a deal like that, I would think.
Baseball's really hard.
They didn't win a World Series title.
No, they did not. Baseball is really hard. I mean, now it's even harder because they are finding value at other positions where you used to overpay for a third baseman. Now you go get a Gio Urshela, you know, and he comes out and has a monster year. There are a million outliers, you know, guys that are really incredible values. But, man, for me, has Manny lived up to his contract so far? Yeah, absolutely. And then some.
It's funny because we talk a lot about this as, you know, fans in the media, you know, is a guy living up to his contract. Eric Hosmer gets that a lot as well. You know, Eric Hosmer's not having a bad season at all, but people look at what he's getting paid and go, no, he should more home runs. He
should have
a higher OPS. What's going on here?
You look around the league and you see other first basemen making a lot less money with better numbers. And that's the deal. It's a big comparison. And it always will be. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, will Eric Hosmer ever live up to $25 million a year? I don't think so. But do I love Eric Hosmer? Hell yeah.
Doesn't matter, though. But really, honestly, there's only one person, or in the case of the Padres, there's a couple, but there's one person who, whether or not you are living up to your contract, should matter. And that's the guy who's paying the contract, the owner of the team. And if the owner says, hey, I'm giving you all this money, I was expecting a little bit more, okay, yeah, he can complain. You're your fan. You're not paying any money at all. I mean, you should be basing his production based on what other guys are doing at their position. Now, if you want to argue that at first base, the Padres should be getting more offensively out of their first baseman, which is a position that generally puts a premium on the offense, you should get more power out of your first baseman. You don't need the world's best infielder there. You can have a slugger. You could hide Josh Naylor, someone else there, and you've got Eric Hosmer there who's had a good season, but he's not going to. You're not going to hit 40 home runs. That's not who he is. That's not the kind of player he is. That is a legitimate argument. But as for the money, unless your owner is saying, hey, we can't spend anything else. I mean, these guys are making all this money and we're not winning. Well, then you can say, okay, now I'm kind of mad that my guys aren't living up to the contract. But otherwise, it's not your money. You're not paying it. Are they producing or are they not? And I'd say Manny Machado is certainly producing. Talented big leaguer, was a fringe all-star this year. And at least after a slow start, Eric Hosmer's having a pretty decent season as well. Not too much to complain about with either of those guys.
And you're going to get a big pushback on that, especially in the case of Eric Hosmer.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we were sold on with Eric Hosmer, and again, I'm as big a Hos fan as you're going to find. So I'm just telling you what I see, boots on the ground out there every day, Benny, looking and reading way too much about people ripping on Eric Hosmer, but you know, the boots on the ground will tell you that the defense is down. You know, it's down. He's not as good defensively as he was. Still hits, you know, the ground ball rate is still way too high for him to be really successful.
But it's not that different than what he was in Kansas City, is it?
Yeah, I mean, and their point is we overpaid for Eric Hosmer, and that probably is the case.
I mean, just look at, well, yes, but that's not Eric Hosmer's fault.
It's not at all.
Eric Hosmer is a career 280 hitter.
Yep.
He's batting 287 this season. His career on-base percentage is .339. His on-base percentage this season is .334. His slugging percentage career, .435. This year, .454. He's having a slightly above average season.
For him.
For Eric Hosmer this year.
Now do first baseman in the NL.
And you're probably not going to find nearly as good of numbers when you compare it to what an average first baseman in the National League is.
Do you think Hosmer's numbers are better?
No, I think the average first baseman number is probably going to be a little better with A.J. Preller and Ron Fowler.
Correct. And I think
not with Eric Hosmer, no.
Not mine, personally.
No.
But I think that argument is, hey, will this hamstring us going forward?
Yeah.
And I don't worry about it because I love the guy.
And Preller and Fowler will tell you, hey, one of the reasons we brought Hosmer in was not just for his production. It was for the leadership.
Yep.
It was to set a tone.
Oh, they hate hearing that, Benny. Oh, they hate hearing that.
But both of those guys are really happy with Eric Hosmer and what he's done.
Very much.
In the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird that you'd say the guy who's paying the salary is really happy with what he's getting.
Benny, it's weird to
root. But the guys who aren't paying the salary say, oh, he's not worth what we're paying. We're paying him.
Benny, it's weird to root against guys on the team that you love. You know, but there's a lot of that going on. We've talked about that this year. It's my guy that I want. I mean, I think there are Padre fans out there that would be legitimately happy if Josh Naylor or Will Myers was the first baseman instead of Eric Hosmer. I really do. I mean, I see it all the time. Will Myers had a fine year before they signed Eric Hosmer. They didn't need to sign Eric Hosmer is the argument. I love him. I couldn't love him more. I'm always going to root for the guy. Always have loved him. And I want him here. I want him to win a World Series. He's done it before. He's been a part of that. I know the old clutch statistics don't matter anymore. He's clutch. He's clutch. He's been as clutch as could be this year.
Yeah. He's been at his best with runners in scoring position and clutch close, tight situations, that's when Eric Hosmer has been at his best. But again, you know, he makes a lot of money.
I tell you, it's coming right now. Fans have every right to complain of a player if a player doesn't live up to a big contract. There's only so much money to go around to build a team. Yeah, you don't want it to hamstring you going forward.
You do, but again, I'm telling you, you have to check your own expectations for what he is. Eric Hosmer is what he is.
He is what he is.
He's doing what the Padres asked of him when he signed that contract, basically. This is what they were, they at least say they were expecting. If they are disappointed, that's on them, not on Eric Hosmer.
Right.
So, again, yeah, if you want to be upset with the Padres for signing Eric Hosmer in the first place.
But, oh, they're going to be upset, yeah.
But I don't know that you should be upset with Eric Hosmer for being who he is, basically,
yeah,
over his whole career.
It's too fair of a point.
Sorry.
It's too salient.
We can get to some tweets. If you've got some Padres calls as well, 833-288-0973. It is a Friar Friday. We've got Glenn Hoffman coming up here in about 20 minutes. He's going to join us from Philadelphia before the start of this road trip and series against the Phillies. 833-288-0973. Tweet us at Ben and Woods. We will be right back.
Padres fans, get excited. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
It is a Friar Friday. It's Ben and Woods. It's Paddock Day as well. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Our friend in Philly, where the Padres are, Audio B. Royster, suggested we were talking about...
Adio.
Adio?
Yeah.
It's not audio?
Adio.
Adio.
It's Adio.
Adio. Suggested that which players have lived up to big money deals? How about Max Scherzer? $210 million over 7 years when the Nats signed him. The guy's been a Cy Young / MVP candidate almost every year.
No World Series.
But he hasn't... No playoffs.
No playoffs.
Really, one-time playoffs?
I think so.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. I mean...
But it's not his fault.
No, it's not. It's a team game, Ben. It's a team game.
Speaking of pitchers, Chris Paddock, what are we expecting the rest of the season? How many more starts do you think he's got left this year? Chris Paddock went... he's already... beyond where he has ever gone in the past in terms of innings.
How many is he at right now?
I think he's at 100. I'm just looking it up right now. He's at 100. Hang on one second.
Maybe I'll try to trade him on my fantasy team.
Chris Paddock right now is at 110.1 innings pitched. Now, he is projected on the same pace to get to 149.1.
Okay.
I know 150 was a number that was thrown out. I mean, that was the high end, like 130 to 150 at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He's never gotten more than 90 or so in the past. Now, remember, they shut him down for 10 days. They haven't pitched him on less than 5 days rest all season. If they keep doing that, you could theoretically stretch him all the way till the end of September and not go over 150 innings based on that projection.
Yeah, I think it's a feel thing. I don't think there's any plan, and I don't, not that I know. I don't know that there's a plan in place, a magic number that they're going to shut him down. If it's a feel thing, great, man. I'd love to. Wouldn't you guys love to see him throw 150 innings this year and have stuff to work on and be healthy and feel good and strong for next season?
I think he's got one thing to work on. There's one thing that Chris Paddock needs to work on, and that is the home run rate.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, his whip, walks, and hits, and innings pitch, .93 is, I mean, that's all-star. That's
phenomenal.
That's Cy Young level. The batting average against, .192, is phenomenal. I mean, he doesn't walk a ton of guys. He strikes out, you know, the strikeout-to-walk ratio right now is 115-25.
It's amazing.
So it's 5-1, basically. That is fantastic. All the numbers behind the numbers that you want to see from Chris Paddock are great. The one issue has been those home run balls, and a lot of them coming on 0-2 and 1-2 pitches where he misses too much in the zone sometimes.
Yeah.
He's such a strike thrower that occasionally he's aiming for the corner and it bleeds out over the plate and the guys, you know, they run into it occasionally.
I'm actually a little bit taken aback at how good those numbers are. I know he's had a good season, but those are
fantastic. I wanted to point that out.
Staggering numbers.
Those are fantastic numbers behind the numbers. And really do point toward good things, really good things for Chris Paddock. I think there was a sense that, you know, he started off so fast and was such a phenomenon in the first month or so. And then after that, you feel like, oh, yeah, he's had his ups and downs and his struggles. And I don't know, is he going to be a good pitcher or not? He already is a phenomenal pitcher. He has a couple of little things. The home run rates, the tendency to not close out guys with 0-2, 1-2 pitches, miss too much in the zone. He can develop that curveball, that third pitch, maybe a little sharper. And I know in the future they've talked about if there could be one more, a fourth pitch.
He'd be ridiculous.
Added to the mix. You know, whether it's a sinker, you know, cutter type, it could be turn him into a real, like, Cy Young type guy. He's very close, though. I mean, these are really good numbers, Woodsy.
Those are really, really good numbers. And yeah, I'm as long as he feels good and his arm feels good and he feels strong, keep pitching him. Keep running him out there every sixth day for now. And if 149.1 is where he finishes, I'm really happy with that year. Aren't you guys? I mean, that's a really nice building block for him. As long as he's healthy and he keeps doing what he's done, and there's no indication that he's not working really, really hard behind the scenes, dude, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, it's
that's your guy
again,
next year, you know?
If he doesn't give up a home run, I'm looking at his game log over the course of the year. In the games that he has kept the ball in the yard, they have all been ridiculously good. First start, no home runs. He gave up one run in five innings. No home runs, one run. No home runs, one run. No home runs, no runs. No home runs, one run. No home runs, one run. I mean, if he keeps the ball in the yard, he has been absolute ace, number one pitcher.
Phenomenal stuff.
And that's not true of every – I know, yeah, you can say, oh, yeah, well, if no pitchers gave up a home run, they'd all be great. They'd all be better, but these numbers are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
If he can keep that home run ball down, he truly could be something spectacular.
And tonight's going to be a good test for him as well. I mean, he has, up against some of the better lineups, you know, he hasn't really scuffled. He's had a couple of bad outings, but everybody has those. I'm really stoked to see him pitch today against the Phillies with Bryce Harper and Real Muto and all those guys. It should be a good
test
for
him. Offensively, they have struggled at times.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of heated up a little bit against the Cubs here at the end.
They're feeling it right now.
But as John Marks told us earlier, our guy in Philly, you know, they struggle sometimes to get to four runs.
Yeah.
Like, they get to four, they usually win. But there's a lot of games that they haven't been able to get to four this season. So the Padres have a chance with a good pitching performance today. We'll see if they can do that. And with Chris Paddock on the mound, you like their chances of getting the road trip off to a good start.
Looking forward to it.
For sure. Again, we got Glenn Hoffman coming up here in a few minutes on our Friar Friday. He's going to check in from Philadelphia. Long time third base coach. And as we said earlier, Woodsy, the fact that he doesn't get talked about a lot generally, I would say, means he does a pretty good job.
A phenomenal job. Somebody tweeted us in this morning. We were talking about how you want to be anonymous if you're a third base coach. Somebody, I guess the Nationals third base coach, he's like, no, I lived in D.C. for a while. He's the worst that you ever saw, and everybody knew his name. And I'm looking for it right now. I can't find it. But, yeah, you know Hoffy as just being a really, really good third base coach. So, I look forward to talking to him. I've never talked to him
good
before.
Good guy. I always like hearing the stories. Obviously, growing up, his dad was the singing usher at the Big A in Anaheim. Got his boys into baseball. And then, of course, his brother is a Hall of Famer now. So he's got plenty of great baseball stories. Spent a lot of his career playing for the Red Sox. Finished up with the Dodgers, was a coach for the Dodgers for a while. Actually, got to serve as interim manager of the Dodgers 1 year. Well, I think it was when Bill Russell got fired as manager of the Dodgers. Glenn Hoffman came in the last couple of months and served as a manager. I wonder if he still has any thought, or is just like, you know, does he want another shot? I mean, you don't hear his name brought up a lot.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Or is he just happy
to be there
in San Diego? Third base coach going on. So looking forward to this. That is coming up next on Ben and Woods.
The guy in D.C., Bob Hendley, is their third base coach and by far is the awfulest, he says. Thank goodness we have Glenn Hoffman. Good point.
All right, so Friar Friday continues next with Glenn Hoffman joining Ben and Woods next on 97.3 The Fan.
Grab your favorite Padres cap, sit back, relax. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
Love our Friar Fridays. About to talk to the guy whose job it is to wave his arm in a big giant circle There's probably more to
there's
it.
There's
more
than to
that.
It, Ben.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Glenn Hoffman, third base coach of the Padres. Ben and Woods brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. We'll take you out to Philly next. All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Joining us from Philadelphia, where the Padres set to begin a three-game series at Citizens Bank Park later today. A guy who's in his 44th year in pro baseball, 21st as a major league coach, and 14th as the Padres' third base coach, still going strong after all these years. Glenn Hoffman with us here on Ben and Woods. Coach Glenn, it is great to have you on this morning.
Oh, man, it's awesome. What an introduction. 44 years, seems like yesterday.
just swinging that arm around in a big circle. That's all there is to it, right? Nothing more.
Piece of cake.
It's been really neat. Just swinging in a circle and hopefully they come around.
Yeah, do you have any? We were talking this morning about the third base coach and first base coach, and I asked Ben, which would you rather do? Would you rather coach first or coach third? And he agreed third. I said there's more pressure on the third base coach than the first base coach. Do you and Skip Schumacher get into it about that?
We have different roles. He sends them to me, and then I have to bring them home. it's quite intriguing. You know, all these years of doing it, and you see different players and different teams, the way they're built and things like that. But it's exciting. I'd take third base any time over first.
In some ways, you're kind of like the umpire. The less we hear your name, probably the better job you're doing.
Yep.
Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, definitely. It's like the stock market, you know, when everything's up high and you're sending runners and they're scoring, everything's great. But when you have that hiccup or something happens, then you're going to hear about it. And that's when your name gets called out. And part of the game, though, it's exciting over there. And, you know, the more runs we score, we just score one more than them that night, we win the ball game.
I know how coaches and baseball players work, that they stew on the mistakes. Do you have one in particular that still sticks with you? Like, I can't believe I sent that guy. He was out by such a mile in a key situation that you still think about today?
Oh, boy, those ones. Just one? No, just one of them. Oh, okay. How many, 21 years over there?
Yep.
There was one that just, there was a ball hit down the line, and, you know, it was the score of a game, because you always do the scoreboard. You're always playing the scoreboard with it. And we were down, and the guy was coming to third, picked up the ball in left field in the corner, and I held him because we were down. And then all of a sudden, the guy went to pick it up again and pick it up again and pick it up again. And then you're like, come on, do we send him? Do we send him? No. And it was like, oh, boy, did I hear about that one. But those type of things happen because it's in the game moment. But overall, it's these guys, when they give you the good effort, it is really exciting.
We're talking to Padres third base coach Glenn Hoffman here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, we have certainly loved watching Fernando Tatis Jr. play all season long. He's been phenomenal. His base running at times has been next level, otherworldly, all the superlatives you can think of. Are there discussions, though? We saw it, you know, last week. He got a hit and he got thrown out, back picked at first base. He's always aggressive. Has there been any conversations between you and him like, hey, Toddy, you need to dial it back a little bit, or do you just let a guy like that just do him?
You know, there's special people that when they run the bases, you can see that they have the talent. And, you know, he has the baseball aptitude. He's always thinking ahead, and you never want to break that.
Yeah.
Like a wild horse. One thing way back when a scout and stuff said, when you can watch a guy play, run the bases, and he's not afraid to make mistakes, you got a player. And we got a player right here. He did, you know, going around when he got thrown out behind the runner or the right fielder threw behind him, I looked like he was setting him up. And he'll learn that when he gets a little further. Devon White, who I played with in with the Angels and went on to Toronto, won a couple World Series, was outstanding at it. And he had the same kind of speed and the glide that he could just glide and set up that right fielder. He just didn't know where he was at and the speed of a major league game. He's only a 20-year-old rookie.
Yeah.
And feeling out every little possibility of it. And I'll tell you what, he's one of the best I've ever seen come up. And you don't want to take away from that aggressiveness.
There were a couple of instances in particular when he tagged up from third on pop-ups to the second baseman, scored both times. I want to know what was going through your mind on those plays. I mean, did you even think he was going? I mean, what were you thinking right there?
Now it's like anything goes, anything's going to happen. But when he first did it, I just closed my eyes. And but his last three steps to the home plate were as fast as I've ever seen anybody go. And it was like, okay, I just got to turn it up a notch and go a little faster. And like a ball hit back to the mound, the guy looked, the casual looked back and then turned to throw to first and notched. Boom, he's gone. Those are the things that you never know. He's always looking. Yeah, the other day we were down, I don't know, 8 runs or something. He's on third base. And I go, Patty, not now. So just shut the Jets right now. That type of situation. He goes, yeah, I get it. Okay. But the score, he's always looking to get on the next base, score a run. And you know what? It's not only his base running, it's his defense, his hitting. We got a player. I mean, you come to the ballpark, and which we should talk about, the fans coming out, it's been awesome. I mean, this year they've been coming out big time. And when you get a chance to see Tatis and some of these younger players play right now, Tatis does some special stuff out there on the field with a glove, hit with the bat. Think of 6 home runs leading off the game and looking for triple crown out of a young kid like this for a rookie with his numbers. And you know what? The other thing is he's a nice kid. He's been brought up the right way in the baseball family with his dad and his mom, and very respectful, and it's been nothing but good.
Well, that's definitely something you can relate to, Hoffa, yourself. Big baseball family, been in the game a long, long time. You know, you've been a part of some good Padre teams and a part of some bad Padre teams. As you look at this team, what's your overall evaluation? Sometimes it's hard for the fans. We keep hearing patience, guys. It's going to get better. And I think it has gotten better, and it's certainly gotten more exciting. But how excited are you about the next couple of years here, Hoffa?
Real excited. I mean, just when you we went through some lean years, we had some guys come up and stuff. So when you have impact players come up, and guys, the one thing, when we've had groves of guys come up, we have three 20-year-olds on this team. I mean, we're talking about Paddock, Naylor, Munoz out of the bullpen throwing 100. I mean, your eyes are opening up and going, wait a minute. We got something here. We just need to, you talk about patience. Well, patience is a big part of the game. Once these guys grow and believe they can be here, it's like, Urias, same thing, coming up, coming down. He's only 21, 22 years old. He's finding his footing a little bit more each time. And you know what? Wouldn't it be great for San Diego if you had a situation like Detroit when you had Trammell and Whitaker for 18 years? Well, there's a possibility you could have a double play combo and you'll be watching them there for 18. I won't be, but they'll be watching them there for 18 years. And, growing with these guys. And I just say the fans grow with these guys, love on them. They're going to do it. They're going to be good. And you can see it starting to change the way the talent's coming up and the moves the front office has made. You look at the little things. It's a very, very exciting. The long picture, it's going to be great, and it's going to happen. It definitely will happen.
I'm talking to Padres third base coach Glenn Hoffman here on a Friar Friday on 97.3 The Fan. Glenn, we've been talking this morning a lot about analytics, their role in the game. Obviously, it's a big part of the game now with the Padres as well and your coaching staff. How have the analytics, the numbers, the deeper that they've gotten, affected your job in terms of being more conservative, more aggressive over the years, and how much does it play a daily role in what you do?
Mine is only a small little factor because I get to see the iPad with the videos of all the guys throwing, so I can like recreate every play that those outfielders throw, their movements and everything else. That's what the analytics for me is, the visualization of what they've given me over the years, where, you know, you just had to watch and stuff like that. But, you know, over there at third base, it's like I said, it's a score. It's a guy getting the jump. It's the ball, all these things in factor. But, the analytics and stuff, it's there for everybody to use. And if you use it the right way and don't cloud up everything, it can be very beneficial, and I like it. I think it gives you data and stuff like that, but still, you know, your eyes tell you in the game, the speed of the game, the way they're playing, the heartbeat of the game, of the player, those are the things that you still have to look at.
So before you go, Glenn, I have to ask you, obviously you're more than a decade older than Trevor, right? So you had a big age gap growing up.
Yeah. Well, not that much. 9 years.
Okay, 9 years. But enough that you were, you know, you played a lot of baseball. So by the time that he was getting into, like, Little League and high school, you were already well into your career, you know, minor leagues and then with the Boston Red Sox. When you looked back, did you see, like, oh, this, my little brother could be something special, like a Hall of Famer? Or were you like, yeah, I'm the older brother. I'm the pro. Well, he'll be lucky if he ever gets to this level. What was your opinion of the young Trevor Hoffman and his baseball prowess growing up?
Oh gosh, he was a sponge. He was just a rat. It didn't matter for the basketball gym or at the baseball games. You know, he just loved being around his older brothers and competing with us. But he's 10 years younger, 13 years younger than me and Greg. And so we were just beating on him. And I think the hit factor for him was this kid never quit. He just kept coming and coming. I'm going to get better. But he was, you know, like in high school, he was 5'4", weighed 120 pounds. And, you know, he just never quit, kept coming, and heart of a lion.
At what point did you know that his career is going to pass mine? You know, he's going on to greater things than I was able to accomplish on the field.
Well, I think the main thing is when they put that ball in his hand and said, throw it by the hitter. And then the light just came on that he was in control of the game instead of being the hitter, where you had to make adjustments and the hardest thing to do is hit the ball. And when he became a pitcher, that light came on, that aggressiveness, and he took it out on every hitter. And he wasn't going to be denied with it. So those are the things you look at. You look at a Paddock. You look at guys that, you know, take the ball, want the ball in the big situations, and do it like Kirby Yates. Guys like that. Trev was special, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer. And I'm just glad he grew up in our family. It was Greg and Trev and Mom, and everybody had a part of it. But he's grown the be still helping out the kids and with the team and the minor leagues, going out and seeing. So it's all been great.
Well, Glenn, real pleasure getting a chance to talk to you. Hopefully you'll be waving that arm in a big old circle a whole lot this weekend in Philadelphia, and you won't make any big giant mistakes that'll have us talking about you on Monday morning.
Hey, we're not doing that.
Hopefully we won't mention your name at all again until the next time we talk to you on the radio. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay, be good.
It's Glenn Hoffman on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates. Equal housing opportunity. Apply today at sdccu.com.
Oh, I wanted to mention this before we got out of here, Ben. You see this thing the Amarillo Sod Poodles tweeted out this morning. Lake Backer is a pitcher for the Sod Poodles.
Is that how you say it?
Lake Backer.
B-A-C-H-A-R.
Right? Backer? Backer?
Lake Backer.
Lake Backer.
Lake Basher. I like Lake Basher.
Yeah, I do
too.
Sounds
like more of a hitter that way.
So his dad right now is going through esophageal chemotherapy treatment, right? And he is on treatment number 33. And I believe they are doing an auction. So what I'm going to do from the Ben and Woods account, I'm going to retweet this. And if you guys want to help out, they're doing Backer Strong tonight at the stadium. So want to go ahead and get that out there. There's an auction they're doing on LiveSource. And you can get jerseys and things like that if you wanted to help out. So I'll retweet that from
cool.
Ben and Woods.
Good cause. Yeah. And, you can find that.
Lake is a cool name. Lake Backer.
Lake. How you doing?
Lake Woods kind of sucks.
Lake Woods sounds like a retirement community.
My wife wants to, Lake Woods. Or like a rehab.
Yeah.
My wife wants to name, if we have another kid, wants to name it River, if it's a boy. River Woods. I'm like, you can't because of the forestry aspects of our last name, babe. I'm sorry. Pretty sure if I die, she's going to change the kids to Nancarrow anyway, so it's fine. So River's Nancarrow. River Nancarrow sounds good.
Yeah, River Woods.
Bo Nancarrow sounds good. So that's probably what's going
to
happen.
We got a bonus biggest fan prize to give away this month, a Las Vegas trip. All you have to do is go to 973thefansd.com and go to our contest page. Sign up for your chance to win a trip to Caesar's Palace to see Keith Urban in September. Just sign up and win. Contest page, 973thefansd.com. I enjoyed especially talking to Glenn Hoffman about Fernando Tatis Jr. And just, I mean, you just get the picture. Like, he's standing there. He's there at third base 1 second. And then, you know, he blinks and he's gone. It's like, where did... It's a pop-up to the second baseman. Where are you going, man? And he's scoring, and it's just it's a different sort of something that he's really never seen before.
Yep.
A guy who's seen it all in baseball and is seeing this for the first time and going, I have never seen someone move faster. Those last three steps when he was trying to score from third on a pop-up to second base as Fernando Tatis moved in that situation.
Until we called Josh Naylor up to the big leagues again. And then, you know, then you got two guys with blazing
stuff. I just picture him like, where did he go? It's, we were standing here a second ago.
Where
did Tatis go?
I loved what he said about that they're not going to try to temper, you know, his enthusiasm, his aggressiveness, because you just can't. And the pressure that, when he, like we talked about it earlier, when he's on first base and he's dancing off second, the pitcher's a wreck. I don't care how long they've been in the league. They're worried about that guy. They're worried about him making a move, trying to steal, scoring, whatever. It puts pressure on even the hardest red-assed veteran pitchers. Trust me, them crazy.
You mentioned that wide turn that he got backpicked the other day and thrown out at first base. Don't think that he doesn't file that mentally as that next time he faces that guy and, you know, he's going to might try to deke him into the back pick, and as soon as he starts throwing the first, he's gone.
He's gone
to second base. And they're going to have to be careful because he learns, and that is – that's what separates Fernando Tatis Jr. from just a great athlete. He's already that, but you see those the wheels turning. I mean, he thinks baseball. He's a really smart, smart kid. I mean, exceptionally bright.
Plays way older than he is.
I saw an interview with him where he said had he not been a baseball player, he wanted to be like a trauma surgeon, like medical school, literally. I mean,
interesting.
He was top of his class growing up. Very smart kid. So he learns from these things very quickly and makes a mistake once, he knows how to take advantage of it the next time.
I'm really glad he picked baseball.
Me too.
He would have been a great trauma surgeon, and maybe it saved your life one day, Ben. But I'd actually prefer
very
him to
calm,
be...
Very calm, I'm sure.
I'd prefer him to be the shortstop for the Padres and save your life or mine.
You'd do the chop in the
Ben,
surgical suite.
All right, on that note.
Do the chop. We have a Woods and Ben podcast coming out.
Paul's
shaking his head. Is that already out or is that coming out today?
Yeah, it's out.
It is out. So if you haven't checked it out, go to 973thefansd.com, our Ben and Woods page. Go to podcast. Woodsy tells the entire story in complete detail.
Yes, indeed.
About the time that, he bought a hotel, basically.
I should have. Was charged
$77,000 on his hotel bill.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Got to listen.
By the way, great week. If you missed any of it, you can always go back throughout the week on the radio.com app or whatever your favorite streaming service is, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, and go to our Ben and Woods page. And you got all of our interviews, hours of the week. I constantly get that from people. Oh, I missed that that interview. I missed that segment. How do I go back? Just however you want. We got a lot of ways for you to go back and listen streaming online. But first place to always start, 973thefansd.com. You can find the Ben and Woods page right there.
Yes, sir. Big weekend plans? What are we doing?
Big weekend plans. Let's see. What are we
doing?
We're going to barbecue a little bit. Well, it's a barbecue weekend. We're going to barbecue at our house on Saturday. And then Sunday, we're the celebrity judges out at the Surf and Turf Barbecue at the track. So we've got our work cut out for us.
We'll see everybody at Ben's house on Saturday for the barbecue. Look forward to having
doing brisket, I think.
All of you guys out
there.
Tweet
out the address.
Tweet out the address.
A little 14-hour brisket. People will find it if you think that.
That is true.
We eat early, though, so just be ready for that.
I'll be there.
That's it. We are done for the week. Good week, everybody.
Good week.
Good work. Enjoy your weekend. Still got Padres baseball coming up later today. 4:10 first pitch from Philadelphia, 3:10 pregame show. Before that, it's the Jim Rome Show, followed by the coach, John Quintero. For assistant producer Hammer, he of the never-ending pasta pass at Olive Garden, Paul Reindel, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us right here. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
If you know that Austin...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.